Welcome to another episode of The Working Title, hosted by PJ Harries.
Welcome to The Working Title, yet another podcast with Dermot. Dermot the Doormat.
Yeah.
One of his very many nicknames.
Yeah.
We're The Working Title. I'm the host, PJ Harries. And we're going to fire straight into this one. So if you're wondering again, guys, we're streaming live on the old Facebook for the old behind the scenes look at it. So if you want a little behind the scenes, jump onto Facebook, look at our very improfessional working environment and take a little listen early. And then as soon as we can, the still not very edited version will be on all of the podcast streaming. So
days.
For pretend you haven't been on the podcast before,
all right.
Introduce yourself to anyone that's listening.
My name's Dermot, and I met PJ on a deployment with Veterans Wildlife back in September now, where we spent 3 weeks
in this
South African bush together, which was an interesting experience. I mean, he's a nice guy, but 3 weeks in his company is a bit much.
Thanks for the compliments, mate. All cheers. Right. Wonderful. Awesome. So, if you guys tuned in last time, we've had Dermot on The Working Title. It's the third time now, I think, officially.
Yeah.
The last time we did two different podcasts back-to-back. One based around a charity that you organise and you run with, non-profit organisation, called...
Plogolution.
Plogolution. Sweet. And I'll let you do just a very brief introduction as to what that is.
Yeah, so plogging is running or walking whilst picking up rubbish. So we set up about a year and a half ago now an organisation that brings people together, communities together, to go out and get active and give back to the environment and make the planet a better place. And we also go into schools and set up school plogging clubs. So we've got 26 schools plogging now. Go out once a week, just for 20 minutes, half an hour. Around the local areas around the school, and yeah, make a difference and become role models in that community. So we're just trying to inspire as many people as we can to make a difference.
Awesome. So this podcast isn't really, this episode of the podcast isn't really around Plogolution, guys, but I thought it was worth sort of mentioning because that's a big part of what you're doing, who you are. So if you are interested in that one, guys, have a little look back at the previous episodes of The Working Title. I think we did live stream that one, so that'll be on Facebook, but also... have a look on the all the streaming sites and The Working Title, and it's called like Plogolution or something like that with Dermot, so have a little look at that. And then the other episode we've done is sort of like essentially part one of this one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was about the Putfoot Rally and about Veterans Wildlife. So this podcast now is aimed to be an update of that. So it's just really a quick touch base. Last time we mentioned the Putfoot Rally, we mentioned the benefits of it, which we'll go over again. But in our very professional manner, we didn't really have any details on the route, the vehicle, if we'd raise any money, how we're going to raise anything like that. It was like, just please help us.
Yeah.
But now, still very unprofessional, but we can come back and we've got a little bit more info for you guys. So we thought it'd be worth jumping on the podcast, giving an update on that. Also, there's been some really interesting developments in terms of that trip. Got some other things that we're going to be doing on that trip, so I'm going to update you about that. And there's another project that Dermot's going out on later this month that extends into another sort of part of what Veterans for Wildlife do. So I thought it would be definitely interesting to get him on and get that discussed.
Yep.
So let's start, mate, with what's coming up soonest, I guess, before we get into the rally itself and the details on that. Let's have a chat about your next deployment with Veterans for Wildlife.
Cool. So, end of the month, I'm going to do another meerkat deployment, which we won't go into too much detail. We spoke about before, and obviously there's a lot of security around that. But what we're doing afterwards is looking at the educational side of what the charity does and how we can help and tackling poaching, not just on the front line, i.e. training rangers and doing anti-poaching operations, but educating people and giving people a better opportunity to life. So what we're doing there is partnering with an existing organisation called Nourish, who are set up in the Hoedspruit area of South Africa. And yeah, their aim is to tackle poaching by fighting poverty, basically. So obviously you can stop all the poachers in the world, but if you don't stop the reason why they're poaching, or one of the reasons why they're poaching, then there's a lot of people in poverty in South Africa, and they're just going to keep coming in because they're desperate. So yeah, we're trying to stop that desperation and give them a better hope at life. So
yeah, it's one of those things that we've discussed as well. Like, obviously the work that we try and do, and there's loads of organizations out there that are trying to do the anti-poaching stuff, a lot of it's based around treating the symptoms, isn't it? Like, yeah, the symptom is the poaching, so we try and prevent that, but the cause of it, and the actual problem, the things that cause all those symptoms, are the hardest thing to treat, obviously, and the hardest thing to try and deal with.
Yeah.
But they're the things that are actually going to make a difference.
And of course, you do need to stop the poaching, because these other things like fighting the poverty and fighting the demand for it are huge tasks that aren't going to happen overnight. And unless we stop the poaching, then the rhino numbers are going to decrease rapidly. Yeah. So yeah, it needs to be tackled from all avenues. So this educational stuff's really cool. We're in the process now of doing school talks in the UK, so just raising awareness about the problem, empowering children. And then my son's school, Robin Hood in Kingston, is going to partner with schools out in South Africa, one school in particular, hopefully, on this Nourish project. One, to communicate with the schools and learn from each other. So just UK schools learn how the way of life is in South Africa and vice versa, but also for UK schools to raise funds for these South African schools, basically to give them a better chance of a good education.
Yeah, so it's sort of, it's touching on that whole trying to treat the root cause, isn't it? The whole culture behind it and the people that are prepared to go out and do it. Trying to sort of educate them while they're young before they develop into that sort of that hard lifestyle. And as you made a good point a couple of weeks ago, it's sort of like if a primary school over here raises a couple of hundred quid, which, you know, with some of the events they do isn't really a big task, you know, each kid raising 10 to 15 quid each, that 200 odd quid goes over to South Africa, and it means a hell of a lot more than it really does here, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, of course, yeah.
That can go a long way.
We found out from Nourish that £80 takes 12 children for a day trip into the Kruger National Park. And you're talking about children that live on the borders of Kruger National Park but never have the accessibility of it. So they don't have that connection with nature. Mm-hmm. So you're telling them to protect these species and not get into poaching, but they've never seen these animals. Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting point. Like, I think a lot of people don't realise that up until sort of the 60s, 70s, when like a lot of the national parks were white only.
Yeah.
So you'd have townships with native South African, and Africans that live right next to the borders of these amazing national parks. But they couldn't afford to get in, and even if they could afford to get in, they wouldn't have been allowed in because of the colour of their skin. So it's only really, essentially, in the last sort of, 40 years that they've been, maybe even less, actually been allowed to come in.
Early 90s, wasn't it?
But a lot of those people that live really close still can't afford it. You know, it's still quite expensive.
Talking about people that don't even have running water in some circumstances, no. So I think there's like over 30 million below the poverty line in South Africa, and a lot of those are living around these beautiful national parks with all the amazing animals that us as Westerners have grown up to love. These guys are living on the edge of these national parks
and we'll never even see them,
never get a chance to see them. So we're telling them that they need to protect these animals, but you need to build that connection. So £80 of UK money will take 12 kids on a trip of a lifetime that could literally change their life.
Yeah, and I think that's a hard thing to sort of really understand, because when you sort of think about country of Africa, you assume, you know, it's all about the bush, it's all about living in the wilderness, if you like, and being around those amazing animals. So you just sort of assume that everyone is familiar with them, everyone's got a connection to it, everyone's got that. But it's only when you look into the cause of it and you look into the fact that they've never actually been to a national park, they've never actually seen those animals, they don't have TV like we do, so they don't see David Attenborough on the TV every other week promoting these things. And then the next thing they hear is a community initiative from usually white people coming into the township saying, you have to stop doing this revenue because it's doing this. And everyone just goes, well, why? It, when you look at that side of it, you can understand and you can almost empathise. Obviously, the barbarity, if there even is a word, or the method of doing it is sort of unexcusable. But it's sort of one of those things, isn't it? But well, if you can treat that end of it.
The desperation, you can tell, because although I hate it and I despise it, going into Kruger National Park, for example, is one one dangerous task. Walking there at night time on foot with all the animals, lots of them want to kill you. So I'm sure they're not doing it completely out of choice. It's there's a lot of desperation there.
Yep.
So yeah.
So yeah, guys, that sort of rounds that one up nicely. You know, if it's sort of a good understanding of the fact that we're not, Veterans for Wildlife, for instance, aren't just trying to treat the symptoms of it. They're looking at the root causes and trying to educate the young, the younger generations to try and bring that round. And one of the methods is through partnership between local UK schools and schools in South Africa. So I guess the best sort of point on that is if your parents, teachers, that kind of thing, and you have any kind of influence at the school and you want to do something like this and try and reach out to schools in South Africa, give Veterans for Wildlife a shout, give Dermot a shout on his social media. And it's a very early stages at the moment, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, we're just piloting my son's school. So he's actually coming out with me at the end of my deployment to spend some time, hopefully, in the school, just visit the project. Providing that goes well, yeah, we're looking to open it up. But in the meantime, we're doing school presentations in the UK. We've presented to thousands of children now just about conservation, how important it is, and how they can help. So they've been like, we visited a school up near Liverpool, the other two schools actually, and they've been making some artwork, which I'm going to take out with me and show to the rangers, because these guys, spending long times away from their family, they don't realize that there's this whole support network back in around the world, basically, that has got their back,
like completely detached from
they just go out there and do their job, and they're putting their lives on the line all the time. So for to get a pack with loads of letters saying thank you for everything you do is nice for them.
Yeah, so there you go, guys. If you've got a connection into a school, especially primary school, something like that, give Dermot a shout, and we'll try and get someone from Veterans for Wildlife to come in and just do a little talk and assembly. Maybe do some initiatives with the kids to get some pictures and letters drawn up, and we can get them out to the rangers that are actually on the ground doing the hard graft and the difficult tasks at the moment.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Happy days.
Perfect. So moving on to the main topic then. The main topic is trying to give a little bit more detail within reason of the Put Foot Rally.
Yeah.
So for you guys that didn't hear last podcast or aren't really aware, the Put Foot Rally is a rally from Cape Town to
Zanzibar.
Yeah.
Crossing. One goes to Zanzibar and then the other one goes to Mozambique.
There you go. We're going for the easy one. And it essentially, it's a normal rally. So you jump on the wagon and you drive through like six different countries, about 8,000 kilometers. But the reason that Veterans for Wildlife are getting on with it is, one, it's a great opportunity to raise money for Veterans for Wildlife, and it's sort of that sort of charity event as we're doing it. And also, Veterans for Wildlife have an influence with various different projects that are ongoing at different nature reserves on a majority of the route. So it's an opportunity for us to pop in and touch base and sort of check in with different things that are going on the route. So essentially it's a rally and we are raising money for Veterans for Wildlife, and every single penny that you do donate through the Just Giving pages that me and Dermot will both share on our social media again after this one goes out, every little penny that you chuck on there, guys, goes straight to Veterans for Wildlife, and you can see exactly what they do. There's no discrepancy with, you know, is all the money going there, is it going here? Obviously there's some support staff and some background areas, but because it is a smaller charity, you can guarantee if you give a tenner, that tenner is going to help save lives of endangered animals. So definitely, if you can spare anything and you want to see us suffer as we try and drive with no mechanical knowledge whatsoever across Africa, gives a shout. So that's a brief overview of what PutFit is.
Yep.
I think you're probably a little bit better switched on to describe in a little bit more detail. So that's pretty much what we said last time.
Yeah.
And now Dermot is going to have a little chat about the route. Then we'll discuss what wagons we're going in. And then we'll have a chat about the team.
Happy days. So we are starting in June the 14th.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. June, it's around that sort
middle of
point.
June. That's and we will be starting in Cape Town. Then pushing up into Namibia through the desert, which is going to be insane. Seeing the world's tallest sand dune. And we will drop into the Etosha National Park, I believe. Hopefully see one of our projects.
Hopefully we'll make it there.
Hopefully we make it there. It'd be nice to get the vehicle out of Cape Town. into the Etosha. Hopefully see one of our ongoing projects there. Then we will enter into Botswana, the Okavango Delta, drive through that region, I believe. And then it is Zambia, yes.
It's not written down. We've got this off the cuff. It's fine. We've got this. Keep going.
So we're going to Zambia. We will do Victoria Falls. I've got that right, haven't I? Yeah, and the
lakes. It's on two countries, Victoria Falls, isn't it?
We're on the Zambian side.
We're going to one of them.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then we push into Malawi before we finish off in Tanzania at Zanzibar City. So it's going to be one epic adventure where we see lots of amazing sights en route and have a real laugh and, yeah, raise awareness for our ongoing projects that the charity's doing throughout Southern Africa.
So that's sort of the route. And when you think about it, it does seem like a jolly. And it is going to be fun. It's going to be an adventure. But I think the biggest limiting factor for this whole event is us. So we've got four people in the team. We've got a senior figure from Veterans for Wildlife. He's sort of like the team captain. He's sort of heading it up. And he is probably as equally inexperienced with all this as we are, but he's probably one of the most experienced. Then you've got myself, who's probably, you know, the most important part of the team. Captain of morale. Best navigator. Worst looking. Best banter. And chef. And most of those were a lie. And then you got yourself, Dermot, who's going to be on there as well. And we've just recently confirmed our fourth member on the team, who is
a friend of mine, Will, who was in the Royal Yeomanry with me for just short of 5 years, I believe. He's a really good guy. He's a good laugh. So morale's going to be high throughout the whole trip, yeah. I'm sure, even if we do break down in the Namibian desert and get surrounded by lions.
So that's our dream team. Essentially two ex-Marines, two ex-Yeomanry lads. So it's going to be, not the best qualified people for this. none of us have really got a lot of experience with off-road driving. I know we've all done a little bit here and there. And we've all got a bit of experience, but not to this scale. None of us are mechanics whatsoever. So hopefully the vehicle doesn't need more than like screen fluid and a top up of oil. Otherwise, we might get into a bit of trouble. So that's where the enjoyment and the challenge for you guys is going to be. You know, it's whether we'll actually make it. And the adventure of it all, and you know, it just really does raise awareness for the scenario that we're going to be in, that we're going to be going through. We're going to have a lovely time, and it's going to be a great adventure, but we're going to have to endure a lot of hardships to do it. You know, it's going to be across some very inhospitable ground. We're going to have to be in the car driving for upwards of sort of 12, 13, 14 hour days, depending on where we are and what we're doing at that time. The ground and the area that we're going to be travelling through will be all different types of terrain, so that's going to be its challenge in itself.
Yep.
And the weather, you know, the weather's going to change as we move further north. And that time of year can be very unpredictable with the weather as well. So we've got quite a few challenges that we need to face. And we're not the best equipped for it, really.
Yeah, well, that just gives us more sense of adventure. And then we've got the vehicles as well. So at the moment, we're looking at a choice between a fairly new Toyota. Just
like 4Runner, is it?
No, it's not 4Runner, is it? Something like that.
Yeah, see? We're pros. Some sort of pretty new Toyota.
Yep. And the other choice is a Land Rover, which has done a fair few miles. Puts a bit more risk onto the journey. Yeah.
Pretty much a beat up old Discovery, you think it is. So we're in the team at the moment. We're trying to sort of figure out what's going to be best. Some of the guys are sort of more comfortable with using the Land Rover because they're a little bit more familiar with it. And then myself, I don't really mind, bit neutral. There's some other guys that are sort of thinking about maybe the Toyota just because it adds that reliability. I think the biggest thing with it, determining factor, will be if we get that second team in.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the moment, guys, we've got a couple of people that are interested. There is some personal cost to it, and there is a minimum to raise for the charity to be able to get on this rally. But we've got one full wagon at the moment, and we've got a second wagon and the potential to put in a second team. It is open to everyone to try and do it, but as I say, there is a personal cost. You need to be able to get that time off, and also you need to raise the minimum, but also you need to be able to get on with the rest of the team. So it's not like a selective criteria or anything like that, but we will sort of like judge it here and there if you are interested, and try and make sure that a second team gets on with the first team if we are rolling with two wagons. So guys, if you are interested or think you will have anyone that's interested, get in touch with us too.
Drop us a message, yeah.
And then we can forward you some more information, and you can look into the details and the costings and the times and stuff and work it out. So yeah, at the moment there's one team of four in one wagon, but we could be putting two wagons in with two teams of three or two teams of four. So there's potential for quite a few more people to join if they want to. But one team is definitely rolling out mid-June, like 14th of June. If you do want more information on the Putfoot Rally guys itself, jump on their website or their social media, because they will be out. It's all on there, and that's a bit more explained than our haphazard approach.
Yeah. But we have to say, big shout out to everyone that supported us so far, because we have both gone over 100% of our...
Yeah, I think...
What are you on now?
I can't even remember off the top of my head. I think... Last time I checked it, we're knocking over 2,000 mark.
Yeah, I think I'm on 1,300.
Yeah.
And we both got targeted £1,000. And we're going to keep pushing it as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm sure we can get that number up even more.
As I say, guys, you know, jump on the Just Giving pages that we'll fire out again after this on our social medias. But, yeah, thank you so much to everyone that's helped out so far. I'm always astounded by the generosity of people on social media. And sort of around the world, listeners of the podcast and followers of my ramblings. Like, please, like, if it's 2-3 quid, guys, it will really help. And yeah, we've both beaten our target, which is incredible. But we've still got a little way to push, and the more money we can raise for the charity is just all a bonus.
Yeah, I think the great thing about this one is, while we're doing the actual rally, you're going to hopefully see a few different projects en route, which we will obviously have a big social media presence with. And then afterwards, it's been pretty much confirmed that me and you are going to be off somewhere to do a nice training package for some ranges. So you'll see firsthand, straight after the rally, all the money that you guys have supported us with. You'll see the hard work that goes into that money and the effect of it, basically.
Essentially, you're putting us through more suffering. So if you donate more money, we're going to have to do... You know, best part of a month driving through Africa and then go straight into teaching a training package. So if you want to see us suffer even more, donate more. So, but yeah, as Dermot said, that's a great point. You know, we're going straight into that afterwards. So it really does show that, you know, everything you put towards, yes, we're going on the rally, which raises awareness, but then we're rolling straight into another training package for the Rangers on the ground doing the hard work. So, you know, you'll be able to see and... We've recently, we've got hold of a decent camera, we've got a drone, we're going to be getting loads of spare memory cards and batteries and stuff. So depending on Wi-Fi, And obviously we've all got phones with social media and stuff on it. So depending on Wi-Fi and the connection with like local 4G and stuff, we're going to be putting as much content out on the Veterans for Wildlife, our own social media pages, the Putfoot ones, and we're really going to be plastering as much content as we can. A lot of it will be photos, videos and stuff that we'll upload later when we've actually got decent Wi-Fi and all that. But we really want to make this sort of rally as interactive as possible, don't we?
Yeah. And I think that is the amazing thing about this charity is you do almost to the penny see where that mm-hmm. money's going, and you see the amazing projects that they're doing, not only in training up rangers and that side of thing and protecting these animals, but in empowering veterans on this side and all over the world now and giving them life-changing experiences. So that money is really well spent, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, guys. Like as I keep going on about, any donation that we give to charity is always, everyone's always in the back of their mind going, where's this money going? Is it actually going where it should go? And a lot of the time, even if it's background, it goes to facilitate those good works. So any money to charity, 9 times out of 10 is going to be good money. But I think it's even easier to see with Veterans for Wildlife, and especially when we're going to go out on trips like this and document absolutely everything for you guys as much as we physically can within the remits of security for the locals and stuff and our own personal security. But and then you can go on there and see all those different branches of what Veterans for Wildlife offer, how it's supporting us as ex-military British military members, how it's helping us with our transition into sort of being civilians, and how it educates us, educates other people, educates kids, as well as how it actually supports anti-poaching movements. And on this one rally, you're going to see all three of those in heaps, aren't you?
Yeah, it's going to be a trip of a lifetime.
If we make it.
Yeah.
Or it's all going to end up with us chilling in Cape Town, very depressed, trying to make a Land Rover work. But that's part of the fun, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So, yeah, we will share again our Just Giving pages. We've got one each, mm-hmm. and then Will's obviously going to put one up as well. But, yeah, thanks for all the support so far, and let's keep pushing that number higher and higher. And, like we said, you'll see the difference that money's making mm-hmm. for us on that exact trip.
So, talking of interactiveness and trying to bring you guys as much along with the whole adventure as possible, we've got something else for you. And it's headed up by Dermot while you're out on the project.
Yep.
And various projects. It's called Ranger Fit.
Yep.
If you'd like to explain Ranger Fit and how people can get involved with that as well.
So yeah, at the end of the month when I'm in Africa, basically my day job is a personal trainer. Fitness is my thing. It's my passion as well as conservation. It's a great way to tie in the two. I'm going to be running an online fitness program. It's going to be 15 half an hour sessions, using nothing but your body weight, so loads of different ways of using your body effectively. It's going to cater for all different abilities, so beginner up to advanced stuff. You'll be learning things like tuck jumps and handstands and things like that. High intensity workouts as well. It'll be a whole range of different body weight workouts and things to do. That is going to be £50. And all that money will go to Veterans Wildlife so they can continue again to do this sort of projects that we've been talking about, empowering veterans and protecting wildlife and educating people from all across the world.
So, but pretty much, guys, what it is it's an online training program, if you like. You'll have videos and photos and some advice and stuff coming from Dermot. But in this time of year, January, February, March time, there is 1,000,001 options out there to better yourself, you know, get into fizz, get into the gym, get into new year, new me type stuff. And they're all really good in their own way. But this one with Ranger Fit, you are ticking about 1,000,000 boxes in one. You know, it's going to be easy for you to do in your own home. You're going to be able to share with the community and with other people that are doing it. You're going to be able to, you know, get better, feel better about doing it, one, because you're doing the exercise, but also feel better because every single penny that you pay to do this version of Ranger Fit will go to Veterans Wildlife. Yeah. So not Dermot, not just personal trainers, not any coaches or anything like that, goes straight to the charity. So you're going to be getting fit, and just donated money to charity.
Yeah, and we called it Ranger Fit because there's zero equipment, and you're talking about guys that are out in the field for long periods of time that don't have any equipment. So it's the sort of exercises that they'd be doing, press ups, squats, that sort of thing, to get you fit and in shape to do that job.
Awesome, guys. So I think we've hopped on enough. We're knocking on the half hour mark now, and my attention span when I'm listening to podcasts is about half hour.
Yeah.
And that's before you haven't got my horrible voice. So we're going to round it off here, guys. Another episode of The Working Title with Dermot. Always a pleasure having you on. Before we go, just going to run for a quick sort of debrief, if you like. Please, guys, jump onto the Just Giving pages. Donate as much as you can to Veterans for Wildlife through them. And that's for the Putfoot rallies. If you don't like us and don't want to support us doing the Putfoot rally, fully understand that. Jump onto the website of Veterans for Wildlife. Donate money through there. All of it goes to the same place anyway. So,
or
whatever you want.
Or get fit over February.
Get fit over February through
Rangers Fit. For just £50, 15 different workouts. And yeah, all that money goes to charity so we can...
If you're interested in that one, guys, how do you get hold of that?
You can either via Veterans Wildlife, there's a link on the website or on their social media, or my social media, which is dfit_PT on Instagram, or dfit on Facebook as well.
Wonderful, guys. Thank you very much. Please donate to charity. Please take a look, see what Veterans Wildlife are up to. Help them out where you can. Thank you again for listening. And get hold of us on our social media if you've got any feedback, anything that you want to talk about, any more questions about anything that we discussed in the podcast. Give us a shout.
Dermot. Happy days. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on The Working Title.
No worries, mate. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Working Title, a podcast hosted by PJ Harries. Remember, do something that makes you just a little bit better every single day.